There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave counsel. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here this hour. Phone number, same as it ever was, 251-343-0106. Works for a call or a text, 251-343-0106. And one additional item that the sheriff and I talked about before he left the studio here, he said, hey, the scams are real active right now. Sheriff's office, you know, they're hearing about it. The sheriff's office will never ask you for money. They're not going to call you and ask you for money. And the jury duty thing, which, by the way, I heard a story from someone the other day. I know this guy. His daughter, who is in her 20s, like, not like an elderly person, fell for the jury duty scam, almost went through with it. If y'all heard Joey Clark and I last week just ripping on this, the scam stuff for older folks is out of control. But just a note here, the sheriff's office is not calling to get you for not serving jury duty. They're not calling you for money. That is baloney. We'll put it that way. You can use another B two-part word if you want to. All right. Good to see in studio Mobile County Commissioner Randall DeWitt. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me here.
It's
be an interesting conversation today, I'm sure.
So let's lay this out. So the story yesterday broke, you know, out there, and John Sharp was on with me and said, hey, I was down at the county commission meeting, and we talked about some, he said, this and this and this. He said, but the thing that really has got attention here is that the city has not paid the county rent in some period of time for their offices inside the county-owned building downtown.
Yeah, and I was reluctant to say anything publicly about it, but I think it needs to be public. I think back in June, the county attorney, Jay Ross, sent Ricardo Wood, the city attorney. It was an expiration of a lease. It wasn't a termination of a lease.
We understand what happens here. So the term of the lease was over. And then a new lease would have started in June.
Well, the new lease would have started October 1st.
October 1st, fiscal year.
But we have to give them 90-day notice that your lease is up, and this is what the new
lease is. Okay, so like any of us, like where I am here, this building, whatever, I have a terms of the lease. I come to the end of it. Do you say yes or no to the new lease?
Correct.
Okay. So they were informed in June. Then what happened or did not happen?
So June, July, August, and September, they paid on the old terms of the old lease, and when the new lease kicked in, they've never signed a new lease, so
they... So they did pay the remainder through the end of the fiscal year.
Correct.
At the amount of the previous... So they were current as of October 1st.
Correct.
Okay, then what happens?
Then as of October 1st, they just quit paying the rent. And I guess it's because, according to the mayor, there was no contract or new lease. And typically...
No lease signed, or they had been given the new lease?
There is some speculation that there was being negotiated, which is not the facts. There
was a lease handed from the county, the new lease handed to the city.
The new terms were handed to them.
They had it.
They had what the new terms would be.
Okay.
And, you know, I want to start by saying this. The county commission values, we've had a longstanding partnership with the city when it pertains to Government Plaza, and this was a joint creation or a joint venture created between the city and the county as far back as 1990 when the building was built, and the city moved in 1994. They have, for many years, really underpaid what they should pay. Just to be honest with you.
The previous contract.
The previous contracts.
Okay.
For example, and I won't go back any further, but from 2017 to 2020, they only paid $50,000 a month, which is about $4 a square foot in downtown Mobile.
There's some realtors that are going, whoa.
Yeah, $4 a square foot, and that's all inclusive. There's no upcharge. There's no carryover charge. None of that's in our lease. You know, an upcharge, for example.
Is that utilities and all that included?
That's everything. Security. $4
a square.
As you know, we have the courts there. So we have a post-certified police force, the 11th Judicial.
That the county is paying
for. The county pays for. That includes their parking. That includes their occupied space, which is 128,000 square feet.
Okay.
And when we talk about occupied space, we're talking about no common area included in that. So if you get off on a floor that's completely occupied by the city and you walk into a foyer or I guess you'd call it a foyer or waiting area where there's a restroom,
right. That's
not charged. The county covers that. Their only occupied space is
when you walk through the door.
When
the
you
office.
Walk through the door in the office, that's okay. What's considered occupied space. The auditorium is not included in any of their lease.
But that city uses it.
The city uses it. If you have a light bulb go out, the county maintenance people go change the light bulb. We change the air conditioned filters for the entire building. That's part of the count. It's all inclusive. They pay not another penny more than what they're paying, which now I want to continue because this was negotiated and there was a cost analysis done, a study done with a professional group. And this was back in 2019, which stated that they should be paying $15.11 a square foot.
They had been paying four.
They'd been paying four. Now, that's cost. The county, I want to make this very clear up front, we're not making a penny.
What it costs y'all to.
It costs us. Now, people say, well, you know, it's tax dollars from the city, tax dollars from the county. It is. You're correct. But let's separate the two entities because what happens here is we have a budget and they have a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we budget counting on them paying their portion of it. They provide, although some of the people who live in the city live in my commission district, we don't typically provide county services to people who live in the city. That's the city's responsibility.
Right.
So most of the time, if you have a ditch that needs to be cleaned out in your neighborhood and you live in the city, that's city services.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in the county, it's county services. And what's happened here is even then that was negotiated down to $11.23 a square foot, and that was back in 2020. That puts the county at subsidizing the city's rent at about $500,000 a year. So even with the new term of the new prices, that is a break-even price. That is what they're using and what it
meaning
costs
your total them. Cost as a county and not taking into account what you use as a county. So
yeah.
This is just what it takes
uses.
To do this for a city, you're at a break-even number.
To give you an example, the total cost annually for the building, just the utilities and maintenance mm-hmm. is about $10.2 million a year.
That's
$855,000 a month. The city, if they were to pay the new rate, which is $2.8 million, that's $237,000. That's only 28% of the total cost of the entire government plaza.
What do they occupy in a percentage? Is there a number like?
I don't know the percentage. I will tell you this. As far as there was some questions yesterday from some reporters about what about the courts and is their rent going up? Well, we're mandated by state law to provide the courts with space and utilities.
That comes out of Montgomery.
That's right. And it's mandated by state law. There's no money.
No, I'm saying that edict comes out of Montgomery.
It's $1 a month is what they pay the
right.
county. So we're yes.
No,
so,
but the fact that you have to do it is state law.
It's, state,
that's what I'm saying. It comes out of Montgomery.
Correct. State law. We have to provide the district and circuit courts with space, utilities, even down to phones and internet service.
Okay.
So that's all
for the courts.
Mandated by that. So beyond that, if you start talking about what administrative space the city uses, like I said, it's about 128,000 square feet, as compared to what the county administration uses. We only use 76,000.
That's what I was getting at. So what is the ratio? So the city uses
about
way more.
They have about twice as much space. So if you look at the if you look at the towers, you got the court side, which is called the I think the north tower, and then the administrative side is the south tower. The city occupies the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the ninth, and half of the tenth. The county only occupies the sixth, seventh, eighth, and half of the tenth. So the city, which they're bigger than a, they're bigger than the, you know, they have more needs than us, so they occupy more space. And again, I want it to be very clear, we're not putting money towards capital expenses out of this. This basically covers their cost to be in the building. And at the end of the day, when the city is not paying their cost, then that extra money has to come out of the services that we provide to people who live in the county, who pay taxes in the county, who we provide those services to.
It's somebody who's in the county, pays their taxes, that goes to subsidize the city that doesn't do, you're saying, that doesn't do work in the county.
That's right. I mean, it's not like we're not trying to make money. We're really trying to catch up. If they went to paying the appropriate amount that we discussed earlier, it would really just cover their costs. And this is all done through a study. And I'm sure there's some formula. I'm not the one who did the study. We paid somebody to do the study. And it takes and breaks down how much space you use, how much the power bill is, and how much of that power bill belongs to you. So for an example, the power bill for the old 2019, the city's portion of the power bill, according to the formula used by this company, was about $35,000 a month. In 2025, it was $61,000 a month.
Wow.
So you can see where these increases are coming. But ultimately, the increase, so when you go back to the old contract, there was a clause in the lease that would say, okay, that this is what you're paying, $125,000 a month with a potential to increase it every year. We have not increased it a penny since 2020 when the last lease was put into place. So it looks like a big jump, and the reason it looks like a big jump is because in 5 years there hasn't been an increase to start
Why weren't those increases?
Well, we were in a position where we were just basically subsidizing it, and it was not a big deal. But now we're in a situation where the city needs to be paying their portion of the rent. And it also seems like a big jump because, like I've said, we've been subsidizing anyway. So we didn't increase for the 5 years. And also,
was the city aware, when we had a new mayor in, but were they aware this was coming? I mean, they weren't paying the increases for those years, were they?
They were aware that even as far back as 2020, when this new contract went into place, it was $15.11, and it was negotiated down to $11.23. They were aware then that the county would have to subsidize their rent and utilities at the building. And so I'm not going to say the mayor himself was aware. And this isn't a fight between the mayor and the city council. This is probably something that our attorneys, I know the mayor said I should have picked up the phone and called, but I'm not the bill collector for the county, and I think attorneys would be the appropriate people to be handling.
And the attorneys have been, the city attorney and county attorney have been talking about this.
No, that's the county attorney. I have two letters here, one from June and one from September, and there's not been any response. I think there's been some verbal communication between them, but never the price had come up. The only thing that came up was some security concerns, and I don't even know what those are.
Okay, we're coming right back with Commissioner DeWitt right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. 343-0106 gets you through. This segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles. And let's just talk. I mean, number one, huge selection of the electric bikes and what Clint calls the Amish bikes, the non-electric bikes. It's stocked 400 of those, 70-something plus of the e-bikes. But if you've been in this position before, let me take off his county commissioner hat for a second, a fellow dad out there. Santa often is tasked with putting together a bike. Mm-hmm. And if you get a box that has a bike in it and not all the parts fit where they're supposed to. And
been there and done that.
Me too, brother. So, Clint, if you're going to get bikes for, you know, for you, get bikes for the family members. If Santa's getting bikes, how about buying the bike from a locally owned bike shop, a guy I've known for 25 years, who's been in this bike world for that long, that's put together, not just put together properly, also tuned. In other words, you get the bike the way it's supposed to be, and you just roll it up next to the Christmas tree. So y'all check it out. And if you're thinking about e-bikes as well, so many people are, the e-bike guide is on the website, adventure-earth.com. You can kind of get your questions asked there. But the most fun is to go see my buddy in person. He's at the corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown, kind of catty-cornered across from Ruth's Chris. Adventure Earth Bicycles. Hey, Santa, listen up. Go see them. They got everything inside to get us outside and get Santa a little more peace in this holiday season. All right, to continue our conversation, Mobile County Commissioner Randall DeWitt. This is the question here. Well, I'll read this one here too. This texter says, unnamed texter says, why didn't the city just purchase the building from the county? Seems like a fiscally responsible move to me. Nobody likes paying rent.
Well, because the building's not for sale, number one. And number two, we're, like I said earlier, we're obligated to provide space for courts, and that's why it's called, a lot of times you'll hear people call Government Plaza the courthouse. Mm-hmm. So, if we were to sell the building, then we would lease, we'd have to lease a space back from the city for the courts.
Okay.
But it's just a government building that the county owns, just like we own the jail, just, you know, like we own the license commissioner office and we own the buildings that the sheriff's office occupies. It's just part of government. You have to provide certain services by law.
This texter says, well, I'm in Mobile County, and both commissioner and I also live in the county, but it says, well, I'm in Mobile County, not the city limits. I don't get to vote on anything in Mobile City, so they need to pay their fair share and stop taking from the county. This texter says, the city has subsidized the county's infrastructure with pay-as-you-go funds for decades. This is from Stephen. Does the city get credit for that?
The city, I don't think, reread the question.
So Stephen writes, the city has subsidized the county's infrastructure with pay-as-you-go funds for decades. Does the city get credit for that?
The city gets tons and tons of pay-go money for almost every resurfacing job you see that goes on in the city. I want to say that they get, they're not credited for that for their rent at Government Plaza, but the city gets their fair portion of the money of pay-go when it comes time to for that.
Yeah, is there looking at this like the totality, I don't know if it's been done, of the money balance, right? Like, because I know we're specifically talking about a contract here, and we'll continue to talk about that, but how much does the city in some way give the county, and the county in some way gives the city? Is there I don't know if that's too big of a number to even figure out.
You know, there's a lot of money that changes hands on certain projects. I can tell you, and I hate to put a solid number with it, but it was somewhere around $30 million of the PAYGO project in 2024 that went for infrastructure inside the city limits. So there's all kind of projects that we partner on. You may have a park that the city may give the county, or the city may have a park that the city gives money to. So it happens all the time, particularly in your smaller rural cities, like Dauphin Island is in mm-hmm. my district in Ballabatry. So I subsidize a lot of the stuff that goes on down there when it comes to resurfacing roads. When we do PAYGO, I send a letter to each mayor and say, hey, what roads is in desperate need of resurfacing, or what can we do out of PAYGO to help your municipality? Because they're smaller and not making the kind, you know, they don't make the kind of money or generate the kind of tax revenue that the city does. So, but certainly the city gets their fair share of PAYGO money. I will assure you of that, particularly if you start adding, you know, I consider the new airport downtown to be a city. It's Mobile Airport Authority, which is the board is appointed by the city and the city council. I think we've put somewhere in the neighborhood of $30 million in that, in the infrastructure around that project, not at the project, but it's been for roads and access points to that airport. And then I know there were several. I don't even remember the numbers. I will say this. By the time it's broke down, the city gets a lot more money than my district gets out of PAYGO. I think they got $19 million and I only got about $13 million to pave and resurface roads in my district last year.
Yeah, one thing.
2024, sorry.
Well, but one thing's also just generally to think about that, and I've talked about this with sheriff before and sheriffs in both counties about it. Got to remember, even though we talk about, okay, this is county, this is city, the county is under, if we're putting layer sheets of paper, for example, the first sheet of paper is the county. And now you lay other sheets of paper for municipalities on top of it, but the county, that's why sheriff's department can go anywhere in the county. They're not, you know, I mean, you have a municipal police department, but that's still part of the county.
Right.
So, I mean, there's this weird, there is a relationship between the two. They are separate, but they are also combined.
That's correct.
Because that municipality exists on top of that sheet of paper that's the county.
Yeah, and if you start geographically talking, you know, the other two commission districts have more constituents who live in the city limits than I actually. I think out of the 150,000 people in my district, only 22,000 live inside a city limit.
Coming right back. More with Commissioner DeWitt right here on Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. Good time to check in with my buddy Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale, home of the RTVs. I'm going to let you talk about this, but you know how I deal with this. I have an RTV from Kubota. It's great. It runs. There's no reason for me to sell it except for the fact that the new RTVs, there's something different, man, with doors and extended. And talk about that. You get a good selection right now.
We do. We have them all in stock right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale right now, Sean. Gas and diesel models. Some of our diesels, we do have the enclosed cabs on them as well. All variety of colors available. Still the zero interest financing through Kubota applies to them as well as all of our Kubota and Land Pride equipment right now. So come by, check us out. It's perfect time for Christmas. Side by side, they've been going quick. We got a bunch of them in stock, so come take advantage of it right now while we got a variety to choose from.
Y'all hear that, Santa, out there? You got a great variety, great Christmas present. I'll send you my address if you want it. You could deliver it there. Also, on the rental side, hey, man, it finally stopped raining for a little while. After forever not raining, then it rained for days. People might think about weekend projects. What do you got in the rental fleet? How does that work?
We've got a little bit of everything. We're still running our rental specials. So you pick it up on a Friday after lunch, return it back to us Monday morning by 10 a.m. As long as you keep less than 10 hours on the machine, you're only going to be charged for one day versus having it for 2 days. So still running that special, and that applies to everything in our rental fleet, whether it be tractors, skid steers, mini excavators, trailers, man lifts, scissor lifts, all the concrete equipment, trenchers, the mini stand-on skid steers, we got it all, so come check us out. We're right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale.
And give them that website as well, because I may or may not spend some of my week each week looking at y'all's inventory, even on the used side.
That's right. So we do trade in just about anything. So if you're looking to purchase, we will trade in. So, Sean, if you're looking to trade that used RTV, mm-hmm. I've got a new one for you.
Uh-huh.
We can do that. But we do have it all on our website. It's parrishtractor.com. Scroll on the toolbar top to the used inventory tab. You can scroll and see all the different stuff we have that we've traded in here recently.
Good stuff, Blaine. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Sean.
All right. There goes Blaine over at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. Continue our conversation with Mobile County Commissioner Randall DeWitt. A named texter here said, Fact, Mr. DeWitt is incorrect on. The city changes all the light bulbs in the building, including the judge's chamber. I know this for a fact because I've done it for years.
Yeah, let me clarify what I was saying. In the common area, the county is responsible. Inside the occupied 128,000 square feet that the county, that the city occupies, he is correct. So I'll clarify that. They do change their own light bulbs and if they want to build anything and inside their occupied space. The common space is the county, even including the outside of the building, the atrium, the auditorium. The judges' chambers, yes. In the city municipal courts, in the circuit and district courts, no. The county is responsible for that.
Also, Tesher said, why was it that Sandy Stimson, who finally got the pigeon poo and the pigeons out of the building?
That's incorrect. I mean, the county just spent about $7 million putting a new roof on Government Plaza this year. I actually just finished the project, and yeah, there was pigeons in the building, but I mean, it's repaired now. Yeah, no more. Yeah. And also, I see a lot of people talking about the roof leaking. That roof hadn't leaked in that building in 10 years. That's building was built before I was here. I think I would probably not have chosen the design that's there now, but I don't have any choice. It's there. That's the beauty of going in office and having to deal with what you got to deal with. And I think I've seen some people say something about heating and cooling a city block, and I agree with them 100%. I think that could have been designed differently or built differently, but we have to deal with what we've been left with, you know.
Yeah, back when the roof was leaking those days, I made a lot of radio hay off just saying, hey, yeah, I'll contract out with some Flex Seal. I'll get up there, we'll spray it and get it.
It leaked. I remember working at the sheriff's office and going to court. You had to almost wear a raincoat to court to keep from getting wet. I'm not denying that, but that building doesn't leak anymore. The common area, the atrium there with the glass part, there's no leaks. And then we put a new roof on and fixed all the places that the pigeons were getting in. There's no doubt pigeons were in the building.
Earl says, let's sell the building and move to the county seat into an unincorporated part of the county.
Well, you could do a lot of that, but here's the truth of the matter. The court system's there, and the jail is right around the corner, of course. And so when you're bringing prisoners to jail, to court, it's just a convenient place to be. And since the building's there, that's just where it is. It kind of goes back to what I was saying about you kind of got to take what you get when you get in office, and the building's there. And so it's the convenient part of it is you have to provide the, like I said earlier, the courts. And so when people have court and they're in jail and the jail has to bring them over, it's very convenient to be close to the jail with the courthouse.
Yeah, I got to think about just trying to see both sides of this, Commissioner. It takes two to tango, though. So y'all are asking for the city to come up to pay somewhere closer to their share of what it costs. If I'm the city, I could also say, well, I'm going to go because who the heck are you going to put in there in that 128,000 square feet other than me?
And I'll say this. I'm sure we could lease it to attorneys who would be more than happy to be right there at the courthouse when they get ready to go to court. But that's not our goal here. That's not the intention. I think if the city puts pen to paper, they'll realize that they're getting a really good deal. You have a lot of things that come with commercial real estate, and you know they're paying a flat rate with no upcharges. If you go, RSA Tower for an example, you're going to pay $24, $26 a square foot and a 20% upcharge a month on top of that. You're going to have clauses in your lease where if you did what has happened now where you don't pay your lease and your lease expires and you go to a month-to-month, your rent increases to 150%. We're not
the price we're talking about per square is what for – that y'all are asking in this contract?
What we're asking is $22.34 a square foot. And that's a break-even price. Mm-hmm. The books are open. Anybody's welcome to come down. And we're not making a penny off of that. That's not us trying to bank money I saw somebody say that I wanted to pay the rent so I could get the money and put it in my pocket. I wish I had 1% of all the money I've been accused of stealing since I've been in office. I want to go back, though, one other thing, too. I think I understood the texter's question, but I want to clarify the pay-as-you-go project. the program is not a city program. That's a county program where we supply the city with funds to do infrastructure. So that's not a city. That is a county program.
Well, that's why, because this texter, Dell, says the pay-as-you-go funds were only recently right-sided. Sandy discovered the city was getting screwed by the county. The city had been getting pennies.
That's incorrect. The city is always, I think there, before I was here, maybe, but since I've been here, it's they've gotten their fair portion of it.
Now,
and look, I support the PAYGO. I supported it before I was in office because it's the best program in the state or in the country, maybe.
Lord knows I don't have a lot of great things to say about it, and I'm a PAYGO fan, too.
Yeah.
I've said it each cycle it comes up. I'm like, yeah, that's a pretty good plan.
You know, it's a slow go, but you got
to... Yeah, but we're not in debt.
Yeah, you got to also remember, I've got over 200 miles of dirt roads in my district, and when you only... You know, when I got elected 5 years ago, it cost $1 million to pave a dirt road, to drain, base, and pave, which is
a mile.
A mile per mile. And now it's about $2.5 million a mile because of the cost of everything. And that goes back to really what we're talking about. Things go up, and that's, you know, I think there was a 65. I think I saw Scott Johnson sent me a article that he did back in 2020.
Scott from over at Lanyap.
At Lanyap.
Yeah.
Where, there was some discussion about the increase. I think the power bill, just the power bill at Government Plaza, had a 65% increase in 2024. Or 60 or 65%.
In 1 year?
In 1 year, yes.
That makes me feel a little bit better. I'll show you the power bill for our transmitter sometime. Coming right back. More with Commissioner DeWitt right here on Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 150 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. The segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my man Trey. And you know what? This is a good idea. You got friends, family coming in for the holidays. Maybe you used to have a guest room. Now, I understand that possibly you had to get filled up because you didn't want, you know, Aunt Marge to come. I get it. But maybe you want other family members to come. Get the guest room opened up. Get the junk out of there. Or maybe it's something you've been meaning to do for a long time. Like putting cars in garages. It's really cool. When you get the junk out of the garage, you can put the car in there. Storage unit. You pay on every month. You don't know what's in there. What are you going to do? 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And I love this, too. In the days of where appointments are set, like in these windows of time, they'll be there some, you take off all day, you'll be there between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. I mean, it's not realistic. When you call Trey and 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they find out what day you want to do it, what time you want to do it. They show up, you're there, you point at the junk you want gone. They quote your price right there on the spot. You say yes to get to work and get it done right then. Used them personally, use them with this radio station, and you can look at the Google reviews. Hundreds and hundreds of your family, friends, coworkers have used them as well. So you got to get junk gone, get it done with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Phone number is the name, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, continue our conversation with Commissioner Randall DeWitt, talking about, and I want to, I always kind of like the what's next part. What is next? Is there a, y'all have a meeting coming up? Is there a discussion? Like, what's so next?
I want to clarify, the goal here is not, again, the collaboration and the partnership between the city has been long lasting, and I want that to continue. The goal here was not to evict the city out of the Government Plaza. We want them to stay there. We're happy with them being there. The goal is just to make sure that, it's huge for the entire, for every taxpayer in the county and the city, for them to have space that they're not having to lease. Mm-hmm. That some private industry is trying to make a dollar off of, that we can, are able to do this and save the taxpayer. That's all it's about. I mean, I tried to bring the fact that the rent hadn't been paid, and all of a sudden I'm the bad guy somehow, somewhere. But
if you wouldn't have said it, we wouldn't have. I mean, it was important things for people to know when that broke yesterday, because I was ignorant to it.
Well, we just want to make sure that what we have budgeted for the year is not going towards, I mean, anybody, even in the private business, wants their partner to pay their fair share. And that's all we're asking for. We're, again, I've said this 100 times, I'm going to say it again. We're not trying to make a profit off of the city taxpayers. We're just trying to get the city to pay for the space that they're occupying. And this isn't a dispute. What's next? I mean, I can
Is there a negotiation that will be opened up here?
I'm hoping that the city attorney now will respond to the county attorney's emails and letters that he sent. And I do know, and I'm, you know, that Commissioner Hudson, at the same time I was coming here at 1 o'clock, was having a meeting with the mayor at 1 o'clock to, I don't know if there's really not a whole lot of negotiating to be done. We're in a position.
That, you're saying that number, which was
2234 per square foot.
That's the break-even point.
That's the break-even point. That's right. That's $2.8 million a year. And again, I want to clarify, the total cost annually of the building is $10.2 million. And at the $2.8 million, that's only 28% of the expense when they occupy twice as much space as the county administration, not the courts. That's just mandated. That's just going to happen. You know, there were some questions, too, about the coffee shop that's there and Chicken Salad Chick is there. Those are really there to provide a public service for people who may come to jury duty or people who have to come to court.
But they're paying the county rent, right?
They are, but it's not on a monthly basis, just so that the service is there. If you come to court and you want to get a cup of coffee so that it's convenient for you, there's no – it's. I think it's a percentage of their gross or their net profit per month, and it's not like, hey, you're paying – X dollars per square foot. It's really more of a convenience thing than a service. That
so I mean there's an amalgamation, and we look at that building because we've got the state court facilities, which are mandated by Montgomery to provide, so you got to do that in counties everywhere. All the other 66 counties in the state have to do that, so they say you got to do that. So that's one part taken out. The two vendors, that's taken out. Now that leaves this percentage of county people that work for the county and people work for the city, and you're saying it's, I mean, you went through the floors and all that. It's almost twice city people than
occupancy
county.
Square footage wise.
Square footage wise,
their square footage is what I said earlier, 128,000 square feet.
Right.
Our administrative offices
like 70
is
or
76,000. But and listen, I don't work for the city. I'm not elected in the city. I don't disagree that some, like our permit office is out on Schillinger's Road. Mm-hmm. So if you're building a house in the county and you need to get a permit, you don't have to come all the way to Government Plaza. You can go to Schillinger's Road and get your permit. If you're doing whatever and need a permit, you can get it there. Of course, the license commissioners are all over the county. The revenue commissioner is all, but those are separate, but we own the buildings they're in. But, you know, another example, and I don't know what they rent, but we rent space. We rent space at a dollar store, you know, Dollar General right there next to the sheriff's office in Theodore. We own that whole building. We own that whole parking lot. The only thing we don't own is the Hardee's. So we lease to them. We lease to the bank. The library has a space there that's not charged. The revenue and license commissioner and the sheriff have there. So it was more feasible for us to buy the whole shopping center instead of renting it. And maybe, you know, I don't think it's personally feasible for the city to be away from Government Plaza. I think maybe some of their services could be, you know, because the city has expanded way west, almost to where we are out in West Mobile. And if you go up to Cottage Hill, they've certainly took that corridor. So now you're living in the city, and if you need a permit to put up, to do an addition on your house, I'm just whatever, you have to come out, unless you do it through the portal, then you have to come downtown to get that permit.
Opposite end of town.
Yeah, or you could just, so I'm not saying that every city service should be at Government Plaza, but that's not my decision to make. That's the city council and the mayor's.
Right. A couple minutes left. I want to run through some of these because Michael said this, and it's funny. This has come up the last time you were here. I don't know if Michael heard it because my daughter told me about this awesome park that was on the way to Dolphin Island. You know, and like I told you, if you got the kids to talk about it, she said, Dad, I'm like, I'm familiar with it. Yeah. I talked to the commissioner. But Michael says, thanks. Thank you, Commissioner DeWitt. Thanks to Danny. Tell you to thank Danny for Bayfront Park. It's my girl's favorite park in Mobile. Mine too, Michael. We get them all there together. They love that park.
That is a great park. I've said the last time it exceeded my expectations. There's a lot more going on in that little area, of course, with Cedar Point. And there's
I want to ask you the Cedar Point thing. So that story this week, the Cedar Point delay, what's going on there?
Just an order from the manufacturer. So, you know, we closed and done some renovations. We opened back up because if you've been down there, there's two trailers, and in between those two trailers, there's going to be a weather shelter that you can get under if weather gets bad.
Right.
And so some of the beams that the manufacturer put together for the contractor to assemble the building come in, and some of the beams are wrong, so we opened back up.
Okay, the beams.
It was the beams themselves. They weren't long enough or something. It's aggravating, trust me, because we had planned a 3-day close down to assemble the building, and then we get down there on Monday after we've already closed, or Tuesday, and the contractor says, these ain't the right beams. But if you've been to Bayfront Park, the boardwalk's almost coming together really well. So by summertime, the new boardwalk will be built. We've already given the contract, and work has proceeded on the boardwalk.
Good deal. We'll have you back soon to talk more about that. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being part of the show today.
Thanks for having me. I hate we didn't have more time to talk about the great projects going on.
Next time. We'll get this thing worked out. You can come in next time. Yep. All right. Paul Feinbaum takes it away next.